You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have seen the face of evil here in South Texas. It is horrific. The kind of monster that walks into an elementary school and executes 19 little children. There are 19 families right now that are experiencing the most horrific and unimaginable agony. There is the nightmare of every parent. There are two more families, the families of those two teachers who heroically gave their lives. Enough is enough. This is horrific.
It is horrific. Those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. This is May 26, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA on Rumble.com. Go to Rumble.com, enter the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. Push it, you're in the studio with us live. Senator Ted Cruz, adding thoughts for all of us. I don't care your political stripes, your belief in or against the Second Amendment, or AR-15s, what happened was horrific, period. But there's a lot still to break down, a lot to unpackage. As often happens with breaking stories, as was happening when the story first began to break, and even after it, there were still conflicting reports coming out. There's a question about the timeline. When did local police actually arrive? And then did local police not really try to get in right away? And even Texas Highway Patrolmen with the Department of Public Safety, when did they arrive? What did they try to do at the time? Were they all too slow to respond? Was it only when a special unit from the Border Patrol arrived that they decided to go into the building? There were parents outside yelling and shouting, "Let us in, we'll go in." And many of them, whether or not they were displaying weapons, would certainly go get weapons. They had it at their home, and they were willing to go in, while police apparently were not going in at that time. Now, again, we're still trying to sort out exactly what happened, how and why and when. But I will tell you this. We did learn from Columbine in 1999. You don't wait. If there's an active shooter inside, you go in. They're in the process of still shooting and killing. Go in and try to put a stop to it as soon as you can. Apparently, in this case, there was an armed school counselor, not really a police officer, inside. And he got pushed past immediately by the gunman who ran from him and ran down the hall. Now, what happened after that with that guy, and if he were armed or not, if that's still a false story or maybe part true and part not, a lot still to decide. What did he do at that point? And then the idea, did they stay outside while the killing was underway? We learned from Columbine, you do not stay outside. You get inside as quickly as possible. And, of course, one of those killed was a child of a county deputy. As expected, the political rhetoric is escalating on AR-15s, on the Second Amendment, and the fact that the NRA is holding its annual convention tomorrow in Houston. And many are saying it shouldn't happen and the Texas governor should not be there. Well, the Texas governor has accepted the invitation to give the welcoming address. He's standing by that at this point. In 1999, the NRA convention was to be held in Denver just days after the Columbine High School shooting in Littleton, Colorado, not far from Denver. They did go ahead and hold it. If you remember, two high school seniors killed 12 students and one teacher in the Columbine incident. I was there. I covered that after it had happened. The governor of Colorado was asked to address the NRA prior to the shooting. After the shooting, he declined to address. But there was one member of the Colorado state official capacity that decided to step forward and do it, the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State, a Republican, black woman in her second term. It's a profile of courage of what she had to say. You do not want to miss her speech in the second hour. And also claims that the AR-15 are traced back to Nazis, and that's why so many, quote, white people want them. We're going to debunk that story for you as well. The latest on the baby formula, that's still a crisis for many mothers across the nation. And Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. They just completed a review of Biden's equity action plans. They find it to be racial, radical, divisive. We'll break it all down for you. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This morning, investigators piecing together what unfolded inside Robb Elementary during that terrible massacre. Video emerging that appears to show desperate parents outside the school. The AP reporting that one parent, Javier Casares, whose daughter was killed in the attack, said that he was upset police were not moving more quickly, telling the AP of the authorities that, quote, they were unprepared.
That is one of the TV reports coming out of Uvalde, Texas yesterday, and you were hearing some of the parents screaming at police to get inside and trying to get past police lines forming to keep parents from getting closer to the school, but parents could not see police going into the building. If they were, they might have been out of sight. Again, I have to caution you. There are a lot of these things, even this late after that shooting took place, that are not clear. Hopefully we will get a complete timeline corresponding to exactly who arrived when and what they did and how it went down, and then how much delay was there before police actually entered the building. Parents in the line outside, well, put yourself out there. You're out there, your child's inside that school, and you're not seeing police do enough, and you're yelling, say, let me in, I'll go get him. Or you're yelling, look, there are 15, 20 of you, there's only one of him, go get him. Get our kids out of there. There were reports of police officers being shot in the legs as the gunman had previously shot his grandmother, and then drove to the school and crashed his pickup and then ran the rest of the way. Pictures of him running in, carrying the rifle. At some point, he encountered apparently a school board guard, not really a security officer. It's hard to say what he was by the definition we're being given right now. Still not clear if he had any weapon with him. But he pushed his way past them, went all through the school and started shooting, and then barricaded in one classroom. Officers were breaking windows, helped kids and along with teachers inside to get kids out to safety. So there were some heroic efforts underway. But if they failed to rush inside as soon as they got there and had some kind of plan, which is exactly what many parents are saying, they seem to have no plan. They had no understanding of what to do and how to go about it. Yesterday, President Biden made remarks about the loss that took place at that school. And, of course, it's, again, something, regardless of your political stripes, you should feel the same pain and suffering.
To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it and never going to be able to get out. Suffocating. It's never quite the same. It's a feeling shared by the siblings and the grandparents and the family members and the community that's left behind. Scripture says, Jill and I have talked about this in different contexts, another context. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So many crushed spirits. So tonight, I ask the nation to pray for them. May the Lord be near the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit, because they're going to need a lot of help and a lot of our prayers.
I played that yesterday, and I'm playing it again today because, as I told you yesterday, we in previous cases, whenever something like this happens and the leader of that state or whatever group it might be says we need to pray for those souls lost and those who are grieving, and the attitude of some, not all, and I'm not going to say a majority on the left, were basically, F your prayers, you're not doing anything. You need to be doing something more. In other words, they want to use it as an excuse to attack the Second Amendment, maybe even strip it from the Constitution, and certainly go after certain guns that they consider military-grade weapons. There was one report that appeared claiming the AR-15 is something derived from the Nazis. We're going to get into that in the second hour. It's not true, I'll tell you that now, but how that story evolved and the real truth behind it is worth examining, because it's just another way to divide. Biden also, of course, did address the use of AR-15s. We will get into that as well in the second hour. But while he is there asking for prayer and saying we need to be with these people in the best way we can, and that's through prayer and relying on God, and I'm a believer in prayer, and if you can't do something physically, I would certainly encourage that. And Texas Governor Abbott suggested the same thing as they were gathering for that news conference yesterday and trying to answer questions from reporters talking about the value of prayer and things that can be done while we try to examine what's going forward. But in the view of, even though Abbott is almost echoing some of the sentiment expressed by President Biden, the Democrat Senate leader, Chuck Schumer of New York, will not say anything against Biden making such a remark, talking about prayers, but then he turns viciously on the Texas governor and basically saying, you are doing nothing by just simply asking for prayers.
He asked people to put their agendas aside and think about someone other than themselves. My God, how dare he? What an absolute fraud the governor of Texas is. And this is the same Governor Abbott who tomorrow, will go speak at the NRA convention in Houston. Governor Abbott, will you ask your MAGA buddies and your NRA pals to put aside their agendas and think of someone other than themselves, like you asked the families to do? Will you ask the gun manufacturing reps who will swarm over the NRA convention to put aside their agendas and think about someone other than themselves? Of course not. The governor, Governor Abbott, is more likely to outline some new plan to further loosen gun restrictions. No amount of bloodshed seems to be enough for MAGA Republicans.
Do you see the tie that they're trying to make? MAGA Republicans, Republicans in general, conservatives, defenders of the Second Amendment. You may be a strong advocate for the Second Amendment, but maybe you're against in AR-15s. That's a choice you make. You may own one or you don't own one, and yet you're a Second Amendment advocate. But what we have going on here, and I told you, and it's a shame it started on the very day of the massacre. You have Democrats pouncing on the Second Amendment, AR-15, more gun laws, more gun control, more gun restrictions, without knowing any facts, but you're saying that will solve everything. And here you have Chuck Schumer calling the Texas governor a fraud. How dare he? As Schumer said, reference the governor. Well, I would ask Chuck Schumer, Senator, how dare you? Let me remind you of something I pointed out yesterday. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer blocked a school safety bill. This is after the shootings. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, asked for the Luke and Alex School Safety Act to be passed by unanimous consent in the Senate. This is after the Uvalde shooting, the very thing that you heard Schumer criticizing Abbott for not doing anything but offering platitudes and prayers, which don't accomplish anything. So here is Senator Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, saying, let's have unanimous approval today on the Luke and Alex School Safety Act. That's named after a couple of the Parkland, Florida shooting victims. It would require the Department of Homeland Security to establish a federal clearinghouse on school safety best practices for use by state and local education and local law enforcement agencies and all institutes of higher education, health professionals, and the public. It would require the DHS to, quote, collect clearinghouse data analytics, user feedback on implementation of best practices and recommendations, basically anything we can come together with and make schools safer for our children. Schumer objected. He says on Twitter that this bill would mean more guns in schools. There's not a thing in the bill that has anything to do with putting guns into schools other than that. But there is talk and a push by many to say, yeah, we would like teachers to be that are trained to be armed and ready and not have their gun locked away in a safe where they can't get to it in a moment's notice. Or we'd like to have a police officer available in each school building. Schumer tweeted, the truth, there were officers at the school in Texas. Now, I don't know where he got there were officers. I told you there was one security guard. Whether or not he's armed, I don't know. I don't know if Schumer knows. I don't know that he cares about the facts. But he tweeted, the truth, there were officers at the school in Texas. The shooter got past them. We need real solutions. His real solution? We vote on gun legislation. Senator Johnson, who was trying to get this pushed through, later tweeted, not surprising that the Democrat leader would lie about the bill he blocked that parents of Parkland victims, the parents of Parkland victims, have been trying to get passed for years, and Dems aren't looking for solutions. They want wedge issues that will help keep them in power. Sick. his closing words on his tweet. Senator Cruz said, in the past, I have fought to harden our schools.
In 2013, I introduced legislation that would spend $300 million on federal grants to harden schools, to make them safer, to make them more protected. The Democrats filibustered that legislation. I've introduced legislation to say schools like this elementary school behind me can get federal grants to harden their security, to put in bulletproof doors, bulletproof glass, to put in armed police officers to protect kids. $1.3 billion in federal funds that are available. Again, the Democrats blocked a vote on it. And I got to say, this is frustrating here. This mass murderer came in through an unlocked door in the back of the school.
An unlocked door in the back of the school. Well, just yesterday, we had a former FBI agent, Danny Colson, saying, where are our priorities these days?
We just gave $40 billion to Ukraine. Why don't we allocate money to protect our own citizens, to put policemen in our schools to protect our children from these monsters? I'm really angry about this. The gun genie is out of the bottle. You can outlaw guns tomorrow. They're still out there. And we need to protect ourselves. We need to have courage to bring in policemen that will risk their lives and save our children and put a stop to this stuff. Stop it before they get through the front door.
Harden the schools and then be trained to act immediately. Now, I don't know what kind of training they've had, what they did or did not do. We're still going to have to see how more details come out. But I have a story I want to share with you from one of those first responders, and he's got a child inside the school. I want to share that story with you and also update the situation with the baby formula. There's still a crisis. It has not gone away. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now keep in mind, we're still waiting to see exact timeline of what happened in Uvalde and when it went down. Many parents say not enough was being done soon enough. And they may be right. They may just be absolutely hysterical, as you can imagine, because their child's in that school and police officers are standing outside, and most of them seem to be more concerned about keeping parents from the school. The chief of the U.S. Border Patrol said they came up with a plan as quickly as they could. Officers had engaged the shooter before several members of the Border Patrol tactical team and other agents went in after the gunman. He said they didn't hesitate. They came up with a plan. They went in. Let's just rush in. But one parent said, who lost a fourth grader, said more could have been done. And again, claiming they were unprepared. A med aide, Angel Garza, rushed to the Robb Elementary School. One little girl, he said, was covered head in blood, head to toe. I thought she was injured. I asked her what was wrong. She said she was okay. Said they shot her best friend, and her best friend was not breathing. He said she named her best friend. It was my daughter. That's how he found out his 10-year-old had been shot to death inside that school, one of 19 children and two teachers. She had just turned 10 2 weeks ago. We will have to see how much more develops on all of this. We will have more on the Uvalde shooting, the reaction and so forth coming up in the second hour, discussions of AR-15s, the lies about AR-15s and the Second Amendment. And you're going to hear a very brave woman speak out to the NRA when others were silent. That's coming up in the next hour. Reminding you again, we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA on Rumble.com. Rumble.com, Larry Connors USA. Well, of course, Joe Biden continues to say that we've done everything we can. I'm not a mind reader. They were going to run out of baby formula. Well, they were months ahead of before the crisis hit. Whistleblowers had said there was going to be a problem. You knew when the Food and Drug Administration shut down one of the major suppliers that creates something like 40% of baby formula here in the U.S. when they had to be shut down because of issues. You knew there would have to be a supply issue. And you knew the chain supply issue still exists out there, trying to get products to and from one place to the other, and are on a plane, and are on a ship, and then are into the communities. Plane arriving, another one apparently arriving yesterday, bringing about the same, enough to feed about 30,000 children for 1 week. Now CNN is reporting and talking about that 60 tons of formula landing at Dulles International yesterday, another one from Germany. And they're trying to make it appear that things are being accomplished. The company leader of the nutrition division for Abbott is apologizing for his role, his company's role on the behalf of the shortage. Well, if they had an issue with it, obviously he's stepping up and taking blame to that extent. But they're going to have to have a lot more. They're going to need more. And here's what they're planning at this point. 50 flights a week to 12 airports across the country are going to start next week, maybe. They say by the end of June, we expect we'll be supplying more formula to Americans than we were in January before the recall. All of it still coming out of Germany until Abbott can get back online and begin producing again. You hear this story. Your baby that's crying because he or she is hungry, all they know is they want something and want something now. You can tell them, well, Larry Connors told me that there's more coming. That's not going to satisfy that child, nor should it satisfy you, to be quite honest about it. Coming up, the Heritage Foundation has taken an extensive look at President Biden's Equity Action Plan. Equity Action. You know by those words, it's not going to be good for America. And in fact, the Heritage Foundation finds out that it is a radical, divisive agenda. This is not uniting our country, bringing us closer together. It's another way to separate and divide. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My next guest we've had on numerous times before, a well-known expert across the nation on various national programs, in addition to Larry Connors USA, which we are live streaming at rumble.com. Simply go to Larry Connors USA in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, and you can join us in studio. Our guest is Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. Welcome aboard, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me back.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at an extensive piece that you and along with Mike Gonzalez of your staff, Erwin Dwinell, David Ditch, all of you coming together on this. Is an 88-page report. It's pretty extensive, so I can't give all the time it really deserves, but the title itself, talking about how Biden's equity action plans are revealing a radical, divisive agenda, and beginning by pointing out that they are going to make federal bureaucracy more ineffective, as if that's possible, and wasteful, but also violating federal civil rights laws. Let's begin there.
Sure. What happened was Joe Biden issued an executive order telling all federal agencies, so this is everybody from the Department of Justice to the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, they had to come up with equity action plans, which would push equity in all administration of government programs. Now, equity, you know, what that may sound good, but basically it's a disguise for putting in racial quotas, a racial spoil system, and giving bureaucrats the ability to make racially conscious decisions. And a good example of this is the Department of Justice. I mean, think about the Department of Justice. It's supposed to be fair and impartial in everything it does,
right,
whether it's prosecuting or giving out grants, and they give out a lot of money. Well, this equity plan they've come up with says that they are supposed to take into effect race and ethnicity when they are considering criminal investigations and prosecutions, when making charges, when deciding whether to have a plea agreement or not, and when giving out grants.
Well,
they not only are supposed to
I'm sorry, before you get too far from that subject, I want you to break down very quickly when they say, when it comes to whether or not they're going to file charges, racial equality and equity comes into place. That means because if you are a certain minority, that, well, maybe we shouldn't bother filing charges. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly it. And keep in mind that the people in the White House and the Justice Department, they believe all these balderdash claims made by academics and others that our justice system is systemically racist and that it goes after people who are black or brown. I mean, that's the terms they use. So if, for example, look, it's just a fact that young black males commit serious violent crimes at a much higher rate than anyone else, whether you look at people who are white or Hispanic or Asian.
And the black community knows that, so they're aware of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're the ones victimized,
yes,
by it in almost all these cases. Well, taking race into account, because of that, I could see these prosecutors of the Justice Department saying, well, we have a much higher of black defendants being prosecuted than the percentage of blacks in the general population, so we just can't prosecute them for the crimes they've committed.
Well, and you point out in this, I say in the 88-page, very extensive report on some of this, that BLM revealed that it had been working on these plans with the Biden team since before Biden's,
yes,
inauguration.
Right, and they think it's great. And it tells you, I think, everything you need to know, that if Black Lives Matters, which is a racist, violent organization, if they think this is good, you know it's bad. But look, it's not just prosecution. The Justice Department gives out huge amounts of money,
yeah,
particularly to law enforcement and nonprofit organizations, and they are now supposed to take into account not just all these racial issues, but also, for example, whether these organizations are in historically underserved and marginalized communities. Now, that is such a broad, vague term. I mean, what is a underserved community? What is a marginalized community? In essence, you're giving federal bureaucrats the license to discriminate any way they want to in the granting of federal funds.
You point out in there one section titled Fishing for Racism, basically. I mean, that's a title, Fishing for Racism.
Yeah.
And you get into the Social Security Administration, supposed to be, again, another colorblind operation that if you've earned your Social Security, you get it. Not based on race,
right,
but your employment, what you've done.
Yeah, but they're supposed to put into effect equity assessments to determine whether all of these federal benefit programs are somehow implemented in an unjust manner. So again, they want to take race into account into the paying out of benefits. I mean, it's just mind-boggling that this is going on. I will tell you that almost all of these things, they violate federal civil rights laws that prevent this discrimination. But, of course, who is it that's supposed to enforce those laws? Why, it's the U.S. Justice Department. And do you think they're going to do that in this case? Of course not.
Well, that brings us, and you're listening to Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, an expert in constitutional law, by the way. And on this point, with the BLM being involved, our open borders, you guys addressed that in there, that the border encounters at 22-year high, 300,000 aliens. We are going to see demographics go more brown than black. So the BLM is going to suddenly realize we might be the ones that are being ostracized here, along with the whites and Asians, because the brown demographics, maybe they need more help and money than going to black regional, you know, communities that have suddenly been underserved.
Well, no, that's true. And, you know, part of what's going on here is literally folks in the Biden administration say that securing the border is racist, that that's a sign that you believe in white supremacy because you want to actually secure a border against illegal immigration. And that's one of the reasons they push this. And, you know, what they totally ignore is who is hurt the most in terms of income and job opportunities with illegal immigration? It's black Americans.
Yes. And in fact, we're going to find, I know where we're going to see this go. And that is that as the demographics become more brown, and the black population will not be increasing that much, especially those who are buying into abortions left and right, while many of the brown are Catholic faith and they don't accept abortions, that suddenly they're going to find themselves upside down again, and then they're going to be warring against browns. It's a matter of war as opposed to uniting. And this Biden administration plan, as you guys say in your title, it's radically divisive.
Yeah, and that's the intent. Look, you know very well that the motto of this country is E pluribus unum, right? Out of many, one. They want to reverse that. They want us to be divided in this country into groups according to identity politics and race, because they think that not only helps them win elections by dividing people, so they go against each other, but also because they are trying to put in, like I said, a racial spoil system in which government jobs and government money will be awarded or withheld depending on your race, your gender, your sexual orientation or preferences, all these things that should have absolutely no connection whatsoever. And with the way the government runs.
And as you said, it's all of this becomes illegal with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. In the last 30 seconds, you suggest that Congress needs to get hold of this and right the ship. What are your beliefs that that's going to happen?
It's not going to happen unless there's a change in political control of the U.S. Congress in the November election.
Otherwise, we're the Titanic. There's the iceberg. We see it,
Yes. But
we don't care.
That's exactly right.
Hans, as always, I appreciate your time and your insight, sir.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You bet, we'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Coming up, the LGBT community was all excited about Disney siding with them, even bringing in LGBTQ clothing, and suddenly word comes out, you know, a lot of that's coming from China. Now there are crickets. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, the Walt Disney Company has made it clear and chastising Governor DeSantis in Florida for passing what they wanted to call, along with the others advocating that it not be passed, the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill, which was really the parental rights bill, that parents would have the right to know what their children are being taught, and by state law, nothing regarding sex, transgender, things of that nature could be taught to grades 3 and under. And above those grades, you'd have to let the parents know what's in the curriculum. They'd have a chance to see the materials. It's costing Disney a lot. A lot of folks have been canceling plans to go to Disney. The cost itself has become enormous. So what Disney basically did is turn its back on the vast majority of its Disney and Disney World, Disneyland customers. Walt Disney had also used the Walt Disney Company, not Walt Disney himself. He would not have gone along with this, I'm sure of that. Had a special that they called This Is Me, Gay Pride Special last year, encouraging kids to support gay and transgender activist groups, which then in turn promotes LGBTQ awareness in K through 12th grade. That debuted last year on YouTube and Facebook, an assortment of drag queen performers and gender nonconforming celebrities. All of this is shoving this into the face of kids who they don't even know the difference between their sexes right now, and you're already telling them that you're probably wrong. And here's this other shoe that's going to drop on them, has already. Disney, somebody up there decide what we need to do is come up with a great collection of clothing for LGBTQ, especially those coming to Disney World. We can make a lot of money. Make up maybe for some of the money of the folks not coming. So they came up with the Disney Pride Collection fashion line. Now, it's apparent that much of this was made in China with slave labor. And in China, where they are anti-gay and using Muslim slave labor, and not one, apparently, of the 17 different LGBTQ plus institutions receiving donations from the proceeds of the Disney Pride Collection would comment when they were being questioned about it by Breitbart News. Each was asked, do you still support Disney's fashion line? Are you still going to accept the donations from the line when you know it's being made in a community that actively works against LGBTQ plus and in fact will kill you if that's your sexual standard? No, they're just give me the money and moving on. That should tell you right there what's at stake here and the real value of the movement. I told you the other day, a man now in his 60s who had been a woman, he went through transition and surgery decades ago, now says, I don't want to be part of this movement. This is not us right now. This is a bunch of people that are trying to profit and manipulate and scare and prey and groom children because they continue to shove it in their face and try to get it into school curriculums, and they're successful at doing so. And they will continue. But when you point out that, again, all the fashion clothing that they're providing is made in China, usually with slave labor, more than likely, would LGBTQ members not stand up and say, I don't want that stuff. Those people hate us and they're enslaving people. Too many of these groups that come forward, they talk about equality and equity. They're really talking about more for me, less for thee, and to take advantage of you in the process. And they're not helping even those in their own kind when you get down to it. They often end up stealing from them. There are still millions of dollars unaccounted for in Black Lives Matter. I know we could go to one of five or six homes that Patrice Cullors bought, although she claims she used no BLM money, but she certainly used her position to get herself rich and now get out of the organization. I've been down with the struggle, but now I'm living the good life. What was it on the Jeffersons? Moving on up. Coming up in the next hour, more focus upon what happened in Uvalde. And a black woman stands up and makes a statement in front of the NRA. And they applaud because she is showing a profile and courage you don't find among many candidates for office. Black, white, of whatever political stripe. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.